Welcome to Poets West, coming to you from KSER 90.7 FM in Everett, Washington. This is your host, J. Glenn Evans, and we bring you poems, stories, music, and occasionally an interview. February is Black History Month, and it is a time to call attention to and to celebrate the talents and contributions of African Americans to this nation. The African American Alliance is a writing group who have been meeting together for more than a decade, and they have a public reading every year at Elliott Bay Books in Seattle, usually on the last Saturday of February. In today's program, we are featuring a group of poets and writers from the African American Alliance, led by Georgia McDade, and recorded live. The readers will introduce themselves. Georgia McDade.
There's nothing like great literature. This is the African American Writers Alliance. The person who is responsible for getting the group started is Randy Eddings. She came from California, was very surprised that she could not find a group of African American writers. So she just decided to form her own group. I was at the first meeting in 91, and I've been there ever since. The best part about it is writers have an audience where they can write what they want to write, and most of the time they can count on somebody understanding it. So we are very happy to be here at Elliott Bay. The first time we came was 1991. Angie Brown.
Harriet's Dream. I'm a school librarian at a school in Seattle where the student body is 99% African American. In research, I found that Harriet would carry a teacup, and in the teacup, she'd put a candle so that they were able to see at night when they traveled. This is called Harriet's Dream, and the inspiration came by a painting by Jacob Lawrence. She holds her head in pride, every step she takes in pain, as she walks by night on her path of life to freedom. Knowing that her journey is as important as her final destination, freedom. Her struggle is part of her purpose. Her goal is her challenge that propels her to a destiny and a shared vision of all who believe in freedom. The road is before her. What lies ahead is unknown. Yet, faith leads her on to freedom. She knows that the keys of life are in her hands. Without a vision, no one can live or have their dreams come true. Dreams of freedom. Thank you. This is February, Black History Month, so I'm going to read Freedom's Run, which is also inspired by a painting by Jacob Lawrence. And I always tried to imagine what the children were like during that time, you know, when they're running and they don't quite understand. So here is my rendition. Run, my child, run and be free. Freedom is near. It is soon to be. Oh, Mama Harriet, I hear the slave catchers. They are running. They are coming. No, little one. That's freedom running. Freedom is near. Freedom is coming. My legs are hurting. My feet are on fire. I'm hungry and thirsty. My body is tired. How much longer? When will it be? Will freedom come and set me free? Yes, my child, keep your eye on the star. Freedom is close. It is not very far. Mama, mama, I hear the dogs. They are barking. They are coming. Oh, baby girl, those are freedom's hounds. To chase us on, we are freedom bound. We're almost there. I can see it now. Look across the river. You will see. Freedom is there. Free you will be. Run, my child. Run and be free. Freedom is near for you and for me.
House was leaking rain. and I'm holding to an angel's hand. I grew up in a side street shaggy, yeah. I did my work and for a mean old boss. My mama did the best she could, yeah. But Papa was a total loss. Now I'm lying in a bed of roses, living off the fat of the land, 'cause I'm looking in an angel's eye and I'm holding to an angel's hand.
My name is Monique Franklin.
The movement.
I be a proletariat with a prophecy. Penitentiary mind penitentiaries locked behind centuries of oppression. I be mind and soul energies turning apathy into a power that stalks time while casting no shadow. I know that being grown means more than being an adult in stature. Statues can look mature and still be locked away in kid time. Logic misled, lost, locked away inside child mind. My mind is not amazed, nor am I amazed easily by society's inability to grow up. Systems ensure that there's always enough to keep our minds occupied. A mental military invasion whose attack on opposable thumbs is overt, hoping to render you incapable of grasping the ballot, the Constitution, and the concept of revolution. The de-evolution of society begins with arthritis at 18 due to video game play and text messaging the word, hey. While the powers that be are LMAO, freedom is MIA. While you can tell me the scores to the last 100 games, how fast can you run? Because when the gun starts peeling back caps, it won't matter if yours read the Seahawks or how much of a die-hard fan you are. You won't die hard. An unmoving target on the couch with your thumbs at the ready. You're half slumped already. Sitting there with your halo, you are already dead. Though your death will be painful and slow for the rest of us, you won't know because you're on that visual morphine drip. Your intentions are still wrapped up inside your mind like an unused playbook that never got any game time. I fully intend to die hard. Try hard like cement in whatever last stand my mature mind fully figured. With my thumbs, giving the thumbs up to the future for children to grasp and witness the full range of the movement.
Georgia McDade.
The inadequacy of apologies. Some of you remember how Dr. Spock told the parents all these things that they shouldn't do. And then at some point he said he was wrong. But this generation of children had been raised on Dr. Spock's books. Spock did it. Nobel did it. Oppenheimer did it. Flaky parents do it. Deadbeat moms and dads do it. Ungrateful kids do it. Arrested speeders do it. Drunk drivers are always doing it. Criminals do it, especially in court. Governments do it. Presidents do it often. What did or do all of these folks do? Apologize. Look. Apologizing for mistakenly stepping on my foot does not lessen the pain. Remove the scuff on my shoe or repair the ruined hose. The same is always true with the damage resulting from callousness, recklessness, meanness. Maybe confession or just plain ignorance. Therefore, as much as is possible, live so as to avoid the need to make apologies.
My name is Stephen Batts.
we know how to struggle. As Black people, we found strength and structure in struggle. We made strongholds in times of strenuous strain and stretch. We strategically stretch our strides straight into the stratosphere. Yeah, we know how to struggle. Like what Senu been through before becoming muscle, we know how to hustle and scuffle to make ends meet. Before we meet our end, we learn how to begin and blend, lose and grin, bend and ascend, borrow and lend, every now and then, but never give up or ever give in. We set trends with hand-me-downs from downtown to uptown. We fight frowns, and we have found light in their smite, and we smile. We fight stereotypes with style. I build from what they gave me. We transformed his stories of slavery into our stories of bravery. Yeah, we know how to struggle. Like climbing uphill when you feel broken bones from broken homes and broken dreams from spoken schemes with broken English, we progress. Nevertheless, to take your worst and make it our best. We take your mess, discards, add spice and lard, and hold it in high regard. We can make your heart our soft, shrug it off if we win or lose. Give us your worst news. We'll give it rhythm and call it the blues. We use our heartbreaks, heartaches, and sour grapes to make big breaks. We can take your CP time, make it shine by calling it fashionably late. Yeah, we know how to struggle. The blood coursing through my veins have maintained and remained through the global stain of my capture long after I smiled in the Nile. The vile degradation of family separation through the middle passage. The saddle, slave ships, whips and chains, hits and slangs, sick and lame. Changing my name, my culture, my language, my attire and my dreams. Using my queen for unspeakable things at the slave weighed in the water. It got harder on auction blocks, treated like livestock once we docked. We got sold like chattel, branded like cattle, and we still fought in every war. We had to endure slave codes, white sheets, black codes, and Jim Crow. We had to show demonstration and segregation long after emancipation. And we still helped build this nation during separate but equal times. Our light had to shine through the lynching, busing, fussing, and fighting, lighting crosses, racist bosses, voters' registration, changing legislation, mutilations, assassinations, and the subtraction of affirmative action. We have the satisfaction of building progressing on oppression. We have learned the harsh lesson when we lost Jesus' physical form. We were reborn as a people, as a community, and as a nation. Sometimes lives have to be lost to gain our salvation. Through divine preparation, we know that you gain when you've lost. I know that we are God's people because only we bear this cross. Yeah, we know how to struggle.
My name is Frenchie Conde Lamont. This one, when I read it to an African-American sister that I love very dearly, and she said, you should name that or title that poem after your lady love. And her name is Sara Suma. She resides in Guinea, where I met her. Her first language is Susu, which I open with. Her second language is French, and she's learning English. Sarasuma love. Irafangma. I love you. In Susu. Sarasuma massaged and mended my wounded heart. We are never to part. All about a new start. Old world, new world. Joined on the mother continent, met in a land called Queen or Guinea, blessed by the quintessential mother, Baganimba, aka Yemaya. Divine love flourishes, grows, knows no bounds, well ahead of the hounds and sounds of war, famine, and destruction. Love risen like smoke from ashes, two hearts fluttering rhyme time through black lashes a sparkle with diamond dew. Something sweet, sweet, eternal for you. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Poets West and members of the African American Alliance, a writing group meeting regularly in Seattle. This group has a public reading every year at Elliott Bay Books in Seattle, usually on the last Saturday of February. They are a diverse group of writers and poets, and a rare treat. The music in today's program is from the 10th anniversary albums of the Oxford American Book of Great Music Writing. The Oxford American is a nonprofit quarterly journal on music published in alliance with the University of Central Arkansas.
My name is Brenda Wright. Hair. What's a girl to do? Try as you might to get it right with curlers and do-rags into the night. We blow dry our hair, hot comb, perm, and such. Oh, Lord, our hair is just too much. Curly when we want it straight. Oh, Lord, it's time for a touch-up. A hot oil treatment, the trim, the split ends. Remember all the products we put in our hair? We do whatever it takes to have a stylish hairdo. Oh, I remember my mom pressing my hair on Saturday. Hold your ear before I burn you, she would say. Now, mom would oil my scalp and get the comb very hot. Patience and understanding from my tender head, she had not. I had that kind of hair that if just one drop of rain would hit it just so, then we'd have to start the process all over again. Don't you know? Sometimes Mama did our hair, sometimes Miss Sue down the street. Sometimes Cousin Martha would braid it nice and tight, and people would nod in approval when our hair was looking just right. Now through the years, we did it all. We pressed it, relaxed it, dyed it, braided it, jerry-curled it, and on special occasions, we even French rolled it. We wore dreadlocks and twists and afro and pineapple curls and ringlets and bobs, ponytail, afro puffs, wraps, weaves. Now, sister, it's a new day. And if you can't grow it naturally, you can have a wig or a weave. Hair. What is a girl to do?
My name's Santiago. And you don't have to be a right-wing preacher to talk to God. So, I had a conversation with God this afternoon. It went something like this. Yo, God, what's up, baby? I know it's been a while since we rapped, but for some reason, I felt the urgency to talk to you. Man, girl, woman, whatever you are. Some stuff's been going down lately, and I just needed some clarification. I don't know where to start, really. You know, since you know everything, I'm going to start with the Michael Vick situation. I know the bro might have been fighting dogs, but come on, God. Prison time? Is this 1942? I mean, when my mom was a child during World War II, I know she told me that her older brother unknowingly ate some good dog stew. And what about my cousins in the Filipinas? Yeah, why can you eat dog some places and sometimes and be in prison for it and fighting, and in other times in other places, there's no problem? Tell me that, God, I don't understand. And then they put the grand jury and the congressional investigation on Barry Bonds? Something about steroids. Yo, God. Alberto Gonzalez told George W. for Worthless Bush how to circumvent torture laws. Ashcroft and Rumsfeld plotted illegal wars. Dick Cheney shot another man in the face. And possibly 1 million Iraqis and Afghanis have lost their lives. And they're investigating Barry? This is a joke, right? God, ain't it? You're messing with us, right? You're going to send somebody down soon and rectify it all and say, I was just kidding. Right? You must be a girl, because when you end the joke, you're going to say, Psych. Another thing I gotta ask you about is the presidential race. I know that you know that I know that you know that the U.S. is still the most powerful and influential country in the world. So it looks like it's going to be John McCain versus Barack Obama. Yo, homegirl, is it just me? Or do you think that McCain looks like somebody that was hanging around during biblical times? He claims to have been in the Vietnam War, but he looks like he was one of the stars of Leviticus. And it looks like you could take him any day now. And then, Mr. Obama, yo girl, I'm gonna be real straight with you, since you know everything. You knew since the moment he was born he was gonna run for president. You knew it! And I know you knew it. So why in the hell did you give him the middle name of Hussein? All I ever see when I stumble onto conservative blogs is how Hussein Obama is going to ruin the country, has already promised welfare to the entire continent of Africa, and will reveal that he is an agent of Al-Qaeda once he gets into office. God, I know you already know it, but I'm going to clarify it for you in case you're daydreaming or creating another universes or whatever you do up there, all right? You have made a situation in the most powerful country on this planet. You have given the people a choice between an African descent male, a female impersonator, and an ideological bulldog that you could recall at any minute. Bomb, 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 Iran. You're joking with us, right? Or is it that you know something you're not telling us? A woman last week told me that they always want to have African-descent males piloting sinking ships. And that's why there are so many inner-city mayors that look like me. What's up, guy? Let me know something. Don't be doing a brother like that. And the last thing I'm going to ask you, and I know Georgia don't like us when we say ask you, is what's up with Terry? Why did you put her into my life when I was 12? You know me. You made me. You know I'm country. You know I have more money in my room than I do in the bank. It's true. You know I use the dryer maybe once a year. You know I have underwear older than my nieces and nephews. You know that I still wonder what happened to my good friend and maybe my best friend, Timothy, who disappeared after kindergarten because they said he was retarded. And all I know is that I had a special connection with him. And I cry now as I write this, wondering where he is and what became of him. God, I know I digressed, but the point is, you know what a sensitive person you've created. So why did you put Terry in my path? I didn't pray for her because I always prayed for the world when I was younger. So why did you send your most beautiful creation my way? And then have her tell me that she loved me, knowing that it meant that I'd be tied to her forever. I would have been comfortable with just remembering the most beautiful being I'd ever met at 12. But you sent her to show me love and send shivers up my spine. Why? Why did you do that? And then call her up there with you. Again, why did you put all that into one girl? She was the most beautiful, the most sensitive, the most artistic. You know that if I prayed for someone, she would have been the answer. And don't give me this old worn out, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. This is a new millennium, so show me something new. And goddamn, oh, I'm not supposed to talk to you like that, huh? Well, you created all the words, so don't trip. What you gonna do? Strike me dead? Well, we'll continue the same conversation on the other side. You know what I think? I think you're keeping her for you. And that ain't right. So when I get to that plane, she might tell me, "Sorry, bro. I've had a lesbian relationship with God. So there ain't no competing with that." Anyways, that's all for now. I don't want to monopolize your time. On this planet alone, you've got to deal with 6 billion human souls, plus animal souls, and some peeps even think plants have souls. On top of that, the dearly or undearly departed, who must also number in the billions if they haven't recycled back down again. And that's only dealing with the Earth. I'm sure you've got other beings to deal with, so when you have time and you see fit, drop me a sign or two. Mahal na mahal, mahal kita.
You've heard a group of poets and writers from the African American Alliance in their annual public reading at Elliott Bay Books in Seattle. All the music in today's program is from the 10th anniversary albums of the Oxford American Book of Great Music Writing, published with the University of Central Arkansas. This series is a production of Poets West in the studios of KSER 90.7 FM in Everett, Washington. We welcome your comments and questions. You can contact us through our website, poetswest.com. You will also find everything you want to know about poets and poetry in the Northwest on our website. Again, our website is poetswest.com. That's poetswest.com. So until next time, this is J. Glenn Evans for Poets West.